to our perception. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we endeavor to look into your scriptures, as we by faith go to your word for insight, I pray, Lord, that you will give us light. Light that we haven't seen before. I pray, Lord, that we will see what we haven't seen before. And I pray, Lord, that you will work in our lives today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open up your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. In this chapter, we find the story of the northern kingdom of Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha. I believe last week that Elder Augustine, when he was here, spoke to you about Elisha. Today we are going to once again look in on his life. At this point in Israel's history, the king of Syria, which is just north of Israel, wanted to attack Israel. So let's pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's begin in verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's begin once again in verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. The king of Syria was planning where and when he would attack the Israelites. He was trying to be strategic. You know, you just don't go and attack another kingdom unless you've thought it through, unless you figure out where your soldiers are going to be. What is the best place to attack? What is the weakest point in their defenses? But the Bible tells us that God had other plans. You know, there are many times when there are people that are trying to attack God's people. But God has other plans, doesn't He? God has other plans for this church, doesn't He? He isn't just going to allow the enemy to have his way. The Bible continues in verse 9. This is what it says in 2 Kings verse 9. And the man of God, this is talking about Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And then verse 10 says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Essentially, God used Elisha to save the king of Israel over and over again. This didn't just happen one time. God was intervening in the plans of the king of Syria over and over again. Have you ever wondered how many times God has intervened in your life? I'll tell you, one of the things that I look forward to is getting to heaven and seeing that playback of my life. Not the bad parts, of course, but looking at those times when God intervened on my behalf. I know there are times when He's intervened. In fact, I believe that it's many times. How many times has God protected your home? How many times have you avoided that car accident? A few weeks ago, my family and I were traveling back from Florida. We were attending a conference being held by the Adventist Agricultural Association. And it was a nice, clear day, just like today. And there were very few cars on that particular highway. This was actually, I believe, Highway 10, if you are familiar with it. And I remember that my wife and I were talking, just talking as we travel along. The children were in the back seat. Then all of a sudden, as I gazed back into the rearview mirror, you know, sometimes something catches your eye. I gaze back into the rearview mirror, and I noticed that there was a police car directly behind me. He already had his lights on. Has that ever happened to you? They just come out of nowhere. I never saw him on the side of the road. It was a clear day. There's just grass on the side of the road. There was no cars anywhere. We didn't go over through an underpass. He just appeared. He just appeared right there. He already had his lights on. To this day, I don't know where he came from. Well, I quickly pulled over to the shoulder of the highway like you're supposed to. And when I applied the brakes of the car, all of a sudden, the display screen in our little Prius, you know we have a Prius, flashed a warning sign that the oil pressure was off. Something was off about the oil pressure. At that moment, the officer came to the passenger side of our vehicle and he asked, like they normally do, for my license. So I passed him my license. And he explained that we had been speeding, but that he was going to give us a ticket for the lowest amount possible. He reduced it. I thought, that's a nice man. It was very nice, in fact. Almost apologetic. As Liz and I looked at the screen with the oil pressure sign, so on that screen, we asked the officer where the closest place to change our oil might be. We were still in Florida, and if you know Highway 10 in Florida, we were a long ways from home. And so after getting the ticket and making our way down the road, we were able to find a... Turn that on for me. Yeah, I'll have to be mounted to the podium. That's okay, though. So... we pulled into one of those quick oil change places. You know the ones that are so quick that you can actually sit in the car? You ever been to those places? They're nice, aren't they? You can just go in and you can pull in. You don't even have to get out of the car. You can just sit there and you can turn to the attendant, roll down the window, and you can talk to him. Well, while we were sitting there, the attendant that was taking our card to pay said to me through the window, he said, it's a good thing you came in when you did. There was almost no oil whatsoever in your car. Now, if any of you know about cars, you'll know that if we had run out of oil going 70 miles an hour down a highway, it is very likely that our engine would have seized up. Our car would have been ruined. Probably about 800 or 1,000 miles from home. So when Liz and I thought about what the attendant said, we both looked at each other and said, maybe God had that police officer pull us over to prevent our engine from seizing. And I can honestly tell you today, if anybody knows me, you'll know this is true. I can honestly tell you that's probably the only speeding ticket I have ever gotten that I don't mind paying. God is taking care of you. He's taking care of me in ways that we don't even see. He holds our world in the palm of His hand, doesn't He? Behind the scenes of life, God is working on our behalf. Just as He is working on our behalf, He was also working on the behalf of the King of Israel so long ago. Let's go back to that story. Over and over again, God spoke to Elisha about the king of Syria's plans of attack, and the king of Israel was spared. God is merciful, isn't He? Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. See if we're back up and running now. All right, we're back. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll look at what happened next in the story. Verse 11. As you can imagine, the king of Syria was very confused at what was going on. It says, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He had been trying to make plans to attack the king of Israel over and over again. And so he called his servants, the Bible says, and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He thought that there was a spy in his midst. He thought he had a plant, a mole, that was inside of his organization, inside of his ranks, telling people what he was saying. After all, that's the logical conclusion. When every time you plan something, the enemy knows. You know, they didn't have walkie-talkies back in those days, or cell phones, or the ability to bug a room. Things had to pass by word of mouth. But notice how his servants respond. They say, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. You see, they knew that Elisha was a prophet. Remember the story last week about Naaman? I think the story about Elisha had made its way back to Syria. They knew about him. They knew that God was working through him. And so they realized that God was telling Elisha what the king of Syria said in his bedchamber. You see, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. It doesn't matter what they plan. It doesn't matter what the devil's designs are on your life. God already knows it. And he's already got a plan for your salvation. God told Elisha the very words that the king of Syria spoke in his bedchamber. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. You see, God knows everything. And if we can't hide anything from him, certainly the enemy cannot hide anything from him. God knows everything. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Everything is in front of Him. God knows every thought, every impulse of every creature on this earth. The plans that people make, no matter how devious, how deceptive, are open to Him. As the king of Syria plotted to attack the king of Israel, God transmitted every word to Elisha. Every word. And as you can imagine, when the king of Syria found this out, when he realized that there wasn't a mole, there wasn't a leak, there wasn't someone within his ranks that was telling somebody what was going on, that it was in fact Elisha, a man in Israel, that this didn't sit well with him. I can imagine him being indignant. How dare he tell the king of Syria what I'm doing? This is what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 13 and 14. It says, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Do you think that he just wanted to have a nice chat with Elisha? And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots. And notice this. This is one man. He sent horses and chariots and a great host. That's an army. He sent an army to get one man. And they came by night, and notice this, encompassed the city about. That means they surrounded the city for one man. That's intimidating, isn't it? One man, there's an army coming for him. This proves the point, and I want you to notice this, that one, we can all count to one faithful man of God is worth more than thousands that do not call upon His name. One man, one person that loves God and is willing to do His will is more powerful and is worth more to God than the thousands that reject Him. And the great controversy that is taking place all around us, God can do more through one faithful soul. One faithful soul than He can through a whole church that is lukewarm. Let's continue reading. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? He was overwhelmed with fear. As he looked around, there was no place where there wasn't a soldier camped outside the city. As he looked around, as he ran back and forth across the city, maybe he ran to the other side. They were there as well. He said, well, maybe they're not in one spot. Maybe there's a way that we can get out. And then he ran to another spot of the city and looked out. No, they were there as well. They were all around the city. I can imagine some of them were preparing for battle. Maybe he happened to catch one soldier with a sword in his hand and a sharpening stone, preparing for battle. The sword gleaming in the bright sky. It seemed to Elisha's servant there was no way of escape. But what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible have to say about God's people? It says this in Psalm 34, verses 7 through 9. The angel of the Lord. Who? The angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? Jesus. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And then the verse we read, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Have you ever wondered why God sandwiches the verse about tasting and seeing that He is good right after He says that the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear Him? You see, when we taste and see that God is good, it comes when we believe His Word. When we believe His Word, we can have joy, we can have peace. We can taste and see that God is good when we believe that He is there and that He promises to protect us. The psalmist adds a little bit later in the same chapter, he says, The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Elisha knew all of this. In fact, I bet you that Elisha had read those very words. Elisha lived by faith and not by sight. Elisha lived by the word of the Lord. Are we living by the word of the Lord? Do we allow evil men and women to steal our faith in God? You know, I'd like to think that each moment of our lives we're going to Him and we're trusting Him, but the reality of it is that many times we allow the evil men and women of this world to steal our faith, to come in with the swords of this world and plunder us and take away what God has given us, faith in Him. We allow them to take it. But we shouldn't allow them to take it. We should recognize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight is not against malicious men or wicked women. Our fight is not against evil employers or greedy governments. Our fight is with spiritual wickedness in high places. But you know what? Even the demons and all the fallen angels are no match for our Savior. They are no match for Him who holds the keys of death and Hades. They are no match for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Elisha's servant stood trembling, as he gazed out over the wall and he saw the Syrian army camped below, Elisha responded to that cowering heart, inside of his servant. He responded with the eyes of faith. And this is what he said in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 16. Fear not, for they that be with us are what? More than they that be with them. No matter what people tell you, there are more with us than those that oppose us. When the world succumbs to immorality and doubts, when many in the church surrender to the surrounding culture, take heart. Because there are more with us than are with them. When you stand up for what is right in the workplace and you think you are all alone, remember that there is more with us than there is with them. When you stand on God's word in your home, remember that there is more with us than there is with them. The Apostle Paul says this, "We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings." The entire universe and the vastness of space is on our side watching what we will do. Will we respond to the infinite grace poured out through Jesus? Will we trust the Savior who is willing to bleed and die and forever be one of us so that we might become joint heirs with Him in heaven? If we could but see, just for a moment, if we could just see for a moment the vast army that awaits with eagerness to come to our aid. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, and Elisha prayed. He prayed and said, "Lord, I pray Thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I'd like to think about that moment. Come with me back to Dothan in northern Israel, approximately 2,700 years ago. Come back with me to that moment when Elisha stood with his servant, perhaps on the wall of that walled city of Dothan. And as they gaze out, they see the formidable foe of the Syrians with their armor and their horses and their chariots in a ring around the city. Perhaps there are thousands of them bristling with energy, waiting to do what their general commands. But as the eyes of Elisha's servant are open, he looks up a little higher and he notices that the soldiers of God The angels of God, the chariots of God are wrapped around those wicked Syrian soldiers. Wrapping around as far as the eye can see. And he realizes that God still has an innumerable host ready to protect the ones that he died for. Ellen White says, when the people of God are brought into strait places, and apparently there is no escape for them, the Lord alone must be their dependence. Will you trust in Jesus? Will you have faith in His leading? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. With the tenderest affection and the greatest loyalty, our Savior Jesus adds these words. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we claim that promise that faith is the victory. Lord, as we look out into the world, a world where the great controversy is raging, help us to see with eyes of faith. Help us to recognize that there are more with us than with them. And as we believe that, Lord, help us to go forward in faith. For we pray this in Jesus' name.